This is the latest installment of Conducting Business, WQXR's podcast series on the classical music industry. I'm Naomi Lewin. And if you take a look at the season brochures and websites of a lot of American symphony orchestras and concert halls, you will see what looks like a common theme, namely youth and sex appeal, especially for female soloists. Now, this is not necessarily something new, but it does continue to make waves. Recently, Yuja Wang, pianist, made jaws drop with the orange micro mini dress and spike heels that she wore on stage to perform with the Los Angeles Philharmonic at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, some people felt that her dress distracted from the music. Other people argued that it was entirely appropriate. Joining me today to talk music, fashion, and the lack thereof are three guests. Anne Majette is the classical music critic of the Washington Post. She is on the line from the newsroom there. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Naomi. How are you?
Patrick McCoy is a singer, organist, and the host of a show on Blog Talk Radio. And he also joins us on the line from Washington. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning. How are you?
And here in the studio with me is Amy Frawley, who is Executive Vice President of Concert Artists Guild. She manages the careers of young performers. Thank you for joining us too, Amy.
Nice to be here.
All right, so let's start with Mark Swed's review in the Los Angeles Times, which read in part, talking about Yuja Wang, her dress Tuesday was so short and tight that had there been any less of it, the bowl might have been forced to restrict admission to any music lover under 18 not accompanied by an adult. Had her heels been any higher, walking, to say nothing of her sensitive pedaling, would have been unfeasible. Now, there is a link to the review and the photo of Yuja Wang in that dress on our website, WQXR.org. And let's start with you. Did Yuja Wang's outfit cross a line, or did Mark Swed's review go a little bit too far by devoting so much ink to it?
Yuja Wang is a performer, and performers, I think, should be allowed to wear what they want. Was the dress entirely tasteful? Not to everybody. It kind of fits who Yuja is, and it's certainly, you can't claim that the Hollywood Bowl, where she was playing, is a bastion of conservatism and good taste, or even a classical temple. The Hollywood Bowl is all about glitz. They do the sing-along Sound of Music every year. She picked the sort of fun, sparkly dress that fit her to play the Rachmaninoff 3, one of the hardest and possibly flashiest concerti in the repertory. So I think it's completely appropriate. I wouldn't advocate that everybody wear a dress like that, and obviously it's going to raise eyebrows, and she knows it's going to make an effect. But she's dressing like other performers her age in plenty of other fields. Did the review go too far? I would make a distinction. I think it's often fine to discuss a performer's attire in the review. I just would say that his tone was a little misplacedly censorious. The idea that we shouldn't let under 18-year-olds look at this kind of thing, first of all, is sort of amusing, since it's exactly under 18-year-olds who see this kind of thing. Under 18-year-olds
dress
that way. Evidently, I think the dress was part of the story, and that I guess when she came out, there were wolf whistles and the whole audience was abuzz. I think that you want to comment on it, but you want to comment on it in a way that is contextualizing the situation rather than acting shocked and drawing up your skirts about it, because we do need to get classical music into the arena with other forms of art. And there's a place for tradition, which is great, but there's a place for youth and exuberance and freshness too. And let's open up the doors and let them all coexist there without prescribing young women in particular from wearing whatever they want.
Now, Patrick, you are an organist. I take it you would not wear whatever the equivalent for an organist would be of an orange micro mini dress and spike heels to perform.
I would hope not.
I want to see it if you do.
What is your take?
I might have a job.
What is your take on this?
Well, my view is definitely different, and the whole aspect of this particular performer and the attire harkens me back to my own experiences as a music major at Virginia State University. We were taught even then that attire was important, especially if you aspired to be a performer and a performer taken seriously. You know, even when we were in the concert choir of our school, even when we rode on the bus, we had to always dress in business attire. And so that when we walked in the streets or the restaurants, people would look at us and say, oh, they're professional. And then when we performed our music, we were immaculately dressed so that the way we looked mirrored the elegance and the majesty and the regalness of the music that we presented. Virginia State University, where I went to school, was is a historically black college and university, and we were an all African American choir. So we wanted the first thing that a person said when they looked up to say, oh, they look great. And then for the clothes to mirror the music. In this instance, I think it sends a bad message to young aspiring musicians who are aspiring to be professionals. Yet, this young lady may already have a career. But what about the young person who's about to leave the conservatory and they're trying to win over their peers by being popular with this type of dress? If they were to go in an audition or a concert situation like this, in my opinion, it would be detrimental to their career.
Okay, well, I have somebody right here, Amy Frawley, who deals with this on a regular basis. You, Amy, work with young musicians who are just starting their careers. What do you say if somebody wants to wear a Yuja Wang dress?
I think that it's important for us to help our artists shape their full artistic personality and make a complete statement. And that is everything from repertoire to dress to other non-musical issues, how they engage with an audience, both how they show their respect, how they acknowledge their fans. And it's a process with every artist. And depending on the repertoire, more chances can be taken. Depending on how good an artist feels about him or herself, those chances may be taken. We are very concerned that our artists gain stature and are rebooked and booked in new venues, and we want them to consider all of these variables, communicate with us, talk with us, and think very carefully before they make such large statements.
Well, arguably, Yuja Wang is now an artist at the top of her game. She's playing with the Los Angeles Philharmonic in the Hollywood Bowl, and as Anne Majette pointed out, she was playing a piece that has been used by Hollywood to sort of depict the quintessential flashy concerto. Patrick, what problem would you have specifically with her wearing a flashy dress to go with the flashy piece?
I don't think I would necessarily have a problem with her wearing a flashy dress. It wasn't to me that her dress was flashy. The dress to me wasn't appropriate in terms of length and the style and cut of the dress. It could have been a flashy dress in another way. It could have been a little bit longer and flashy. But for me, as a person in the audience, I just recently interviewed the famous soprano Carmen Balthorpe, and one thing that stuck out about the interview, she said that when she comes out to perform, she takes great pride in how she looks because people have come and they have paid their money and so forth to enjoy this experience. I just think that you could be flashy, but I just think that an element of taste needs to be exhibited, and I don't think that that was exhibited in this instance.
I do think that artists need to show their personalities, but I also think it's quite a pleasure to sit in an audience and have a little bit left to the audience's imagination and be in service fully of the music. But an artist at a more advanced stage of his or her career can, in fact, take more chances and see what the result is and go from there. She's a risk taker.
And
it's amusing to me a little bit that the taste of the event is invoked, because I have seen more crimes against fashion and good taste committed by artists who were dressed covering lots of skin but managed to take the stage looking like they were wearing the sofa or or other hideous gowns. I mean, classical musicians have not always been the most tasteful.
That's true.
But there's a lot of lecturing. I mean, as I said, I'm not the advocate that everybody should show lots of skin, but I think that a performer should be who he or she is, and particularly when Yuja Wang takes the stage looking like most pop music performers would. You know, do we want every classical performer to be a pop performer? No. But if somebody plays like Yuja, for one thing, nobody could question that she played phenomenally. Mark Swed made a point in his review of saying the playing transcended the dress. If she wants to go out there and look like that, who's to stop her? I mean, when Anne-Sophie Mutter started wearing sleeveless gowns 30 years
strapless
ago.
Gowns, strapless gowns, in fact.
Strapless
too,
gowns,
right.
Exactly. She got a lot of the same flack. And one of my arguments or resentments is that there's particular tutting when a woman does it. Patrick, you mentioned the organ, and of course Cameron Carpenter is a very flashy young organist who's pushing the bounds of fashion in the organ. I believe he used to perform in evening gowns in the second half of his programs. I think he may have toned the gown part down now, but he definitely is out there with his fashion choices. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about it, too, but I haven't heard the same amount of prurience expressed for Cameron. Perhaps that's just what I haven't happened to hear it, as I do for Yuja. And the immediate speculation that she's trashy, I've heard that she looked like a hooker, that the heels are so high. If you go on any red carpet of any fashion website, you will see dozens and dozens of young Hollywood starlets dressed in higher heels and shorter dresses.
And in fact, Lady Gaga wears outfits that are way more outrageous than that. So I guess the question is, is there a problem because of the kind of music that's being performed? Is that why, Patrick, you see this as a problem? And should there be a problem?
I just feel like that we are giving people more reason. I just think that we are compromising the integrity of classical music. I understand all those points, and I understand myself being 33 years old. I'm definitely young. So I do understand those things to try to get young people in. But just the way that we're trying to do it by, to me, dumbing down the art of classical music as far as, you know, attire, and trying to quantify and trying to make classical music in the same instance as far as dress as pop musicians, I think is really apples and oranges there. And in terms of Cameron Carpenter, about, you did say evening gown, so I'm sure his gown was long, was it not?
Well, he was a man wearing it. I think that was the issue.
I don't actually think it's about dumbing down, but I do want to say that I think that artists spend so much time thinking about every note and getting feedback and listening to those who are their mentors,
and by
pianistically
note,
or
mean
on the violin, about every note and every phrase and the overarching idea of the performance. And I think that those same artists need to, again, think about the statement that the clothing makes. And that's key, too.
I don't think Yuja Wang was oblivious to the statement that her clothing
no,
was
I agree
not
with you. I don't think she was.
Yeah.
Let me just ask, mm-hmm, Amy, as a manager, mm-hmm, do you ever get feedback from presenters about, oh, well, so-and-so showed up wearing something totally inappropriate, or so-and-so showed up looking like a sofa?
Absolutely, all the time. And that feedback gets delivered to our artists, and we try to not only do it at that point. We hope the good comments, of course, we love and we pass along. The negative feedback, we do pass along constructively and we discuss it. We hope it doesn't get to that point. We'd like to think that our relationship with our artists is open and collaborative, and we ask questions in advance.
What are you some of the biggest complaints you've gotten?
To be sure, on the strapless issue.
Really?
Yes, because the unfortunate thing about a strapless dress, and it's referenced in many, many of those articles, that one has to keep pulling at it. And we would encourage every artist to play in that dress many, many times. Same thing with a tux, same thing with a suit, same thing with a button that's going to be up at a male artist's neck very tight. Play in that outfit. Get really used to it. Don't decide just because you think you look great in it, it's the right thing to wear. If you don't feel good in it, that will channel out to the audience immediately. It'll show in a photo. We ask our artists before their promotional photo sessions to email us photos of what they're thinking of wearing, and we start that dialogue with them very early. And we do use presenter feedback all the time.
But presenters tend to be very timid, too. I mean, one of my big beefs with this whole discussion is this idea that classical music must be more conservative and should be more conservative, and there's this kind of fear of entering the real world. And some of the healthiest things that are happening in classical music right now are things like the Chiara Quartet going and playing Beethoven in a bar for a bar audience. And there are people who might think that's not appropriate. Well, I think it's great. And, you know, it's a way to get new audiences who may never go to a concert in a concert hall, but are able to love the music in this different setting.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Anne. And CAG spends a lot of time putting its artists into those non-traditional, more diverse venues where the audience is not a classical music audience.
And you absolutely do, and right. I applaud that. And so therefore, this idea that somehow, but the clothing must still be separate and the clothing is a priori different, bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm. But do you think this should now extend to symphony orchestras? Do you think the time has come for them to abandon their white tie and tails?
Many
and
of them have. Christoph Eschenbach and the Orchestre de Paris had a whole new uniform created for the orchestra. That hasn't caught on so widely, but certainly, you know, male conductors are pushing at the regimentation of the concert gown all the time.
But and, Amy made a great point. I'm sorry. But Amy made a great point, too. Yu Zhiwang, she already has an established career. And I think my whole point is that from a young person's standpoint at the college level who hasn't arrived yet, they can't afford to make those kind of chances haphazardly where they don't have the right advice and then walk in on a stage with that dress thinking that they're going to get the same type of reception.
But I trust people more than that. I don't think any young artist, however naive, is so stupid as to think, oh, Yu Jiwang wore that dress, therefore I can audition in it. You know, people who have worked for a long time.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
No.
I'm not so sure about that.
Let me tell you one time that I didn't mention the dress when I felt the dress was part of the story as a reviewer, because it's a big question to me as a reviewer, do you talk about the dress or not? And this woman took the stage, and she was a singer giving her Carnegie recital debut, and she looked like she had just come out of a high school lobby. She was wearing a crocheted shawl. She was generously endowed above, and she was wearing a rather short skirt, and she clearly couldn't see that it rode up. I mean, a top and a long skirt. And every time she breathed in, we got about 3 inches of bare midriff, and you could see her pantyhose line really clearly. And she just looked like a mess. And I didn't mention, I really thought about it, and I thought it's going to be so devastating to that young artist to have, at that time I was writing for the New York Times, to have that mentioned in the review. I won't mention it, but it gave me a terrible view of her. Now, on the one hand, she was dressed very appropriately. It was a long dress, and she'd put thought into it, but it looked awful. I have a much better idea of Yu Jiwang's fashion sense. It may be tacky, but she looks put together and looked in a mirror, as opposed to this girl who just came off as hapless. And incidentally, that girl has gone on to be quite successful. So,
but ultimately, right? But ultimately, everything is in service of the art, and if it's that distracting. I think it was kind and considerate of you, but at some point that artist needs that feedback and to develop those skills and taste sensibilities as appropriate. It's all context, right?
It is, but I've seen so many concert dresses that were so much more offensive on a taste level than Yu Jiwang's, which is an idiom I've known well, you know, not familiar with. Mm-hmm. It's an idiom we're all familiar with from television. And, you know, one reader pointed out to me that Yu Jiwang is Chinese, and there's a different and possibly more sparkly aesthetic in China. If you turn on Chinese television, Chinese performers tend to have a lot more sort of, there's a lot of spandex and things on TV there. But I would also add that I got a letter from Spain from a self-described metalhead in Spain, and he said in broken English, I heard all this flap about the dress. I thought she was cute. I checked it out. I found her on YouTube. She plays amazingly. I am totally intoxicated with her playing, and I've bought a ticket to hear her play in Spain next year.
Well, there you are.
And I thought, I'm not saying we have to dress like that to grab new audiences, but here's somebody who doesn't know about classical music, but heard the talent. He wouldn't have bought a ticket if he wasn't excited about the playing. But the look and the controversy about it got his attention.
On the flip side of this, okay, we have Yu Jiwang dressed to the nines in her own fashion sense. Patrick, I understand you took exception with the fact that Joshua Bell wore jeans when he played at the White House.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even though that might not have been the most formal event, he was going to see or play at an event for President Barack Obama. And I just took umbrage with the fact that, yes, there were school children there. And also, Adewajan Pratt, let's not leave him out. He was dressed, you know, rather informally also. But I'm just saying all that to say I'm not just speaking explicitly about Yu Jiwang.
Right.
I will say that I think that outfit that she wore, it could have been appropriate in another setting, perhaps like someone mentioned about the outreach program where they were going out to the different settings of the community playing. That might very well be a time where you wear your quote-unquote own clothes, but I just don't see that being a good example in a concert setting like
but
that.
But the Hollywood Bowl?
Exactly, the Hollywood Bowl.
It's the crown of glitz and kitsch, and there's so much like bad taste at the Hollywood Bowl. This Yu Jiwang comes off as being decorous in the Hollywood Bowl.
Could I just turn
You're
this?
Still on display. You're still on display in front of all those people. That's just like when I, not that church is the same type of thing, but because I'm in front of the organ, no matter what the people wear, I'm still going to be appropriate because I know I'm setting a certain tone musically.
Absolutely, well, which is appropriate for church, but I wish that all classical music didn't have to make us feel like we were in church, because that's a problem we have anyway in this field.
Could I just turn this argument for a moment from the actual attire to the criticism of the attire? And Anne, I wonder if it makes a difference if the critic is a man looking at a man or a man looking at a woman. As a female critic, would you write that much about anybody's attire?
I would write about the attire, and I think that the attire is sometimes a part of the story. It's a very tricky subject, and it's been particularly tricky for women because this backlash happens a lot. I remember interviewing the Eroica Trio for a piece I did on this topic, and the Eroica Trio were three very attractive women, and they made a big splash when they came on the scene, sort of late 80s, 90s, because they were attractive, and that was kind of their thing. And they said they got really sick of it, and they did. For one thing, they were accused constantly of being selling out to men and having men tell them what to do, which they found offensive because they were completely control of their own image to avoid precisely that. So they decided to do an album cover where it was just their heads to get rid of the criticisms of their dresses. And then they said at least two reviewers mentioned that they had a sultry come hither look. And they said, forget it, we just can't win.
Yes.
And I remember for the same article, the editor of Gramophone magazine saying, we always get reader reactions when we portray an attractive woman as attractive. He said, there seems to be an expectation that she somehow be made to look frumpy in order to be appropriate.
I guess my question is whether you would devote that many column inches, because really, it was a large part of the review.
It was, although he gave an equal amount to the
music, but
to the music,
really...
and he said the music was very good. And once again, it is context. I mean, these summer concert venues, it's not like he was reviewing something at Carnegie Hall. The Hollywood Bowl is, you know, there's not a lot of rehearsal. They kind of throw this stuff together. So it's different writing about the dress at the Hollywood Bowl than it would be at Disney Hall, for example, at the concert hall of the LA Philharmonic. And it sounds to me from other descriptions, from speaking to people who were there, that the dress really did create quite a furor. So in that sense, I don't think it's a priori wrong to devote space to the dress. I just, as I said, took exception to the under 18 thing and this sort of, you know, oh my goodness, the dress was so short and so tight, mm-hmm. when if you turn on the TV, you see dresses that short and tight all the time.
Right. Just I think more to the heart, or what I think is part of the question, which is a concept of how much space one would devote to a non-musical issue. I think a lot of things are fair game, but when I read a review that is much more slanted in the direction of non-musical issues, I'm disappointed, because I think it says something about what was lacking in the artist's statement. Do you know what I mean?
Well, a review is in the newspaper, for better or worse, and a review reports, I always say this to reviewers who are starting out, on the story. What is the story of the evening? I don't think there's any a priori template that we must discuss. You know, should we only discuss Rachmaninoff's life when we're writing about Rachmaninoff? In this particular case, I think the dress maybe was the story. I think every review has to consider what's newsworthy. Sometimes it is the composer. Sometimes it's the performance. Sometimes it's a particular nuance. Sometimes it's a juxtaposition. There are a lot of different things that can be newsworthy or make a story in a review, and it's the reviewer's job to select that responsibly.
Right.
So I'm not going to rule out the idea that the dress could be, especially at a Hollywood Bowl concert of a piece Mark Sweat has heard 900,000 times, which, as he said, was played very well.
Amy, I have a question for you. Are there female performers, or even male performers, who feel pressure to keep up with the Ujas, or keep up with the Awadajans, keep up with the Long Longs in terms of their dress, and maybe wear clothing that they would not normally, maybe they come from Patrick's school of thought, mm-hmm. that they were educated to walk out on stage in formal clothing to go with the music. Do you feel these days there is more pressure on young artists to be a little bit more out there with their clothing?
You know, we deal with that all the time, in particular as it as a parallel, as it relates to the non-traditional venues and artists who want to be there and those who want to stick to more of the proscenium stage settings. And I think it's an artist's choice, the same way about dress. I think an artist has to be true to one's own statement and go that direction. So an artist might also come out for Tchaikovsky dressed beautifully in the period of that style, even though that might be a very flashy concerto as well. or could have gone Yuzha Wang's way. I would like to think an artist will stand up for his or her own taste, and that's what we're there to help do. I'd like to think that they're not getting sucked into these issues if they're really diversions and they're not takes them off course, potentially. Makes them too focused on other issues when they should be focused on performance.
I have heard stories of even quite big stars being compelled to wear clothing that they weren't really crazy about for record cover shoots, particularly in the 80s when you got a lot of questionably tasted record covers, if that's a term. I believe Gil Shaham did one where he was wearing a cape, and I think Gil has said since then that he was really not very happy about having to put that cape on. Now, obviously, a cape is sort of over the top. It's not like they made him show skin. But I think that the age of record labels having that kind of power to make big artists wear certain things is in abeyance. But I could be wrong about that. Amy, you would know more than I would on that.
Well, we work with a number of labels, and with some there's more opportunity for artists and self-choice, and others have platforms that they want design-wise. We have our own label that we have started for our artists, and we work with them, and that's where they have a lot of freedom, obviously within the context of the repertoire and the look, to make their statements. And I do think
that once you're established, then yes, you can't, like Amy said before, yes, of course the artist can take risk because they're established, they really don't have anything to lose. But I still go back to the fact that when you're starting out and you don't really have anybody that's really guided you correctly, that's a risk there that the person is taking to go out with such a flashy, for lack of better words, attire when you're trying to start out your career.
And how much, really, if I may ask, sort of to wind up, how much is all of this kind of cyclical? Because you mentioned Anna-Sophie Mutter and her strapless dresses in the 80s, and then we had violinists like Lara St. John and the famous wet whatever it was photo shoot of Vanessa May rising up out of the water on her album cover. You had the string quartet Bond. You had Il Divo. You know, and periodically there's a rash of articles about what are they wearing, what are they doing. So is it just the latest incarnation of that?
I think this issue has been around since the dawn of classical music. And to imagine there was a time when it was...
What was Orpheus wearing?
What?
And ironically,
what was Orpheus wearing?
I think what goes around comes around, and we're going to continue to see these debates all the time. And the envelope will be pushed, and some things will land well and others won't. And that's what artists will learn as they develop their personalities.
What I would like to see removed from the discussion is the undercurrent of sexism that I believe is still there, that there are slightly different standards for young women, and that there's an idea when a young woman does it, she's sort of come down on especially hard.
But on the flip side, men, I think, are judged a little harder than women, too, because if a man wears a suit or a tux, and if they don't necessarily have on a necktie or a bow tie, a lot of people from the old school of thought that I'm coming from would say, that man is not dressed. Whereas a woman can basically put on something that's long and it not necessarily be dressy and put on a pair of shoes, and they consider it to be dressed up. So I do think it's a double-edged sword there as far as the men and women issue is concerned.
That's true. Ivo Pogorelich got called on that for his first Carnegie Hall recital for his attire. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us. You have been listening to the latest installment of Conducting Business, WQXR's podcast series on the classical music industry. I've been speaking with Anne Majette, the classical music critic of The Washington Post, Patrick D. McCoy, who is a singer, organist, and host of a show on Blog Talk Radio, and Amy Frawley, who is executive vice president of Concert Artists Guild. This podcast was produced by Brian Weiss and engineered by Bill O'Neill. I'm Naomi Lewin. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.